You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That was pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a throwback Thursday on The Usual Suspects because yesterday, due to the postponement of the golf tournament, we decided to postpone way back Wednesday and make today throwback Thursday.
That's right.
I have seen your list. I have submitted my list.
I saw your list.
And therefore...
I was mad.
Why?
Because you got some that I forgot about that I wanted.
Good.
I was like, damn it, I totally forgot about Umbrella.
We're not even, but at least you felt a little of the pain that I felt when I knew some of the songs you were going to put on your list.
No, I didn't check. Did you spell everything right?
Believe me, I spent a little extra time on it.
After all the ball busting you did, you were like, oh my God, if you had a typo, game over.
Yeah. And of course... I'm sitting there at the kitchen table doing it, and Lisa's like, what are you doing? And every song Lisa suggested, I was like, no. And she's like, what do you say? It's not a good song. I go, no, it's a good song, honey, but you don't understand it. There's more criteria than that. If the listeners are going to make fun of you, Barry and Nick are going to jump all over me, or it's a slow song, it's going to suck, so we're not picking it.
Does she get defensive when you tell her it's a dumb song?
Because she's like, I love that song. I go, and you can continue to love that song. It's just not going to be on my list. We can't do
that.
And guess what she suggested three times?
What?
It's Raining Men. And I said, for so many reasons, honey, you don't even understand. That one's not going to make the list. And you forgot one that you could have had, and I left it there.
Which one?
Ronnie Millsap.
Oh.
Rocky Mountain Rain, or whatever it's called.
Damn it.
When I saw it, I started laughing. I was like, his list is already in, and he would have loved that one.
You win again, Satan. Damn it.
See, that's what you get for jumping the gun and getting it done before the show ends.
But I didn't have to do anything last night, so. Nick didn't either. He just waited until 12:40.
Is yours in?
40.
Yeah, I have the tweets scheduled for 1:10.
I don't see anything in my inbox.
I didn't submit it to the email.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's what I was saying.
I need to review that for spelling errors.
I would guess you're not going hour number one.
No, I'm going hour number three, but it's a complete list.
So essentially, you're in the slot you're in every week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Candy Rain was another good one on your
list. That song.
Love that song. So, I wasn't sure I was going to make it today on time.
Why?
Well, as you guys know, I eat Chick-fil-A like 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah, memo to Chick-fil-A, we're out of cards. Send some more.
It's just so convenient and semi-healthy. I can eat lunch for under 800 calories, and so I do that. And plus, it's just the app, and then I order, and it's so easy. So usually when I get there, I do the carry out because it's faster than the drive through, especially when I leave at 11:45.
So how's the carry out? Where you just park, pick
it up? I just park, walk in, my food is waiting on me, and it has your name on it, and you pick it up and you walk out.
Just like Starbucks.
It's literally just a circle. You walk in, you grab your food, you walk out. There's no waiting, no mess, no nothing, no lines, no kids, no none of that. And it's much, much faster than the drive through.
Okay.
So I do that literally 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And never have a problem. Sometimes parking lot's full. I'll park around the corner or whatever. So I tweeted it out. At Barry's Fun, if you want to see the pictures. Some dude in an MCHD, which I guess is Montgomery County Hospital District.
Okay. Sounds right.
In an MCHD truck parks next to me where I can't get in my car. Now, I'm not talking about can't squeeze it. I literally... There's about, I don't know, 12 to 14 inches of space between our cars, and I cannot open my driver's side door.
You can barely open the door.
No, my fat ass is it. I need room. I got to swing wide, all right? So I was like, this isn't good. So I go inside and I can't find the guy.
So you like yelling or are you looking for a uniform?
I'm looking for a uniform. And then I had this, like, I thought I was going to, you know, I'm already a little behind my normal schedule. Then I'm like, oh my God, what if this dude is pooping? It's going to take forever. If he poops like me, I might not be here until 2 o'clock. Like, I was like, this is not a good thing. Eventually, I found a dude who just had on a t-shirt that had MCHD on the pocket or on the chest.
Okay.
Like, real small. And then I was like, hey, is that your MCHD truck out there? He was like, and then he got attitude immediately. Yeah. I was like, I can't get in my car. And he throws his sandwich down like I'm the one that's inconveniencing him.
That's a D-bag.
And now it was like, oh, bro, it's a good thing you work at the hospital district because if this, you're going to need it. You are pissing me off. I didn't do anything. So he just throws his sandwich down and he marches to the car and he doesn't even say anything. He doesn't say, I'm sorry. He doesn't say, you know, my bad. He sees it. He gets in. He backs up. He waits for me to get in my car. Doesn't even let me pull out. As soon as I get in my car and shut my door, he pulls back in the same way.
Over the line?
Yes. And so now, like, to back out, I've got to, like, do this maneuver. Oh, I was so pissed.
You flip him off?
No. But I was like, boy, this is...
I was going to say, though, the minute the sandwich was thrown, all bets were off. He was not going to be an apologetic guy.
I was like, what a dick. Like, you did this. I didn't do any. I was there. You're the one that pulled in. You're the one that did that. You had enough time to order and do all that. Like, bro,
that's pretty.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
So shout out to whatever a-hole that works at the Montgomery County Hospital District that did that. Also, I came to the realization that the best French fries we've determined are the fries at the bottom of the bag. I think we can all agree on that, right? Those are usually the best French fries. When you find those extra two or three French fries at the bottom of the bag, those are bonus fries.
Absolutely.
The best cheese is always the cheese that's stuck to the wrapper when they wrap the burger up or maybe put it in the little box like McDonald's does sometimes. Mm-hmm. That little leftover cheese, that's always the best cheese. I have come to the determination that the best part of the chicken sandwich for Chick-fil-A is the parts of the chicken that hang outside of the bun.
Crispier edges.
Yeah, you bite that little edge or whatever. Best, I could just eat a whole sandwich of that. And it's so basically, it's just,
in barbecue places, they do burnt tips. So you should do Chick-fil-A crispy edges.
For some reason, man, just that chicken hanging outside by itself, like all out.
You don't think people would buy like a large fry sized of just the crispy edges?
Man. That's the best part. That's the best part.
I don't disagree with that.
I put that on Instagram, and my buddy Owen Dunn, comedian who also used to work here, he responded, he goes, that may be true, but I throw away the ends, the waffle fry ends. Those are trash. You know how you get like the waffle fry, and they do have the little ends that are rounded?
Yeah.
Those are trash.
Okay.
Those are usually not good.
I'm not a big waffle fry guy.
Really?
Yeah. But
Why not?
I don't know. I like the all the different kinds of traditional fries, steak fries and other fries, crinkle cut and all that other stuff. But I've just never been a waffle fry, and I'm not a sweet potato fry guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't mind them.
Like, they had a food truck here today, and everybody was bringing food in, and everybody was all about those sweet potato fries. And I'm like, I'm just not a fan.
They're not bad. I mean, they're a somewhat healthier alternative.
At this point, it's still deep.
But why? I don't understand why you don't like waffle fries. What's the big
deal?
Not
that I don't like them. I have my choice between them and regular fries, I'm going to go with the regular
potatoes,
fries.
Bro. Okay. Like,
I'm not saying, like I said, it's not saying I won't eat them or don't like them.
Texture is kind of important for me too, but I like waffle fries. So
I think the regular fry gets a little crispier than the waffle fry.
Yeah, because there's a little bit more. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just like you've those potato
soggy
wedges.
Fries.
Sure, everybody's
and you
had
never had
fries.
A crispy waffle fry from Chick-fil-A.
Okay, but again, I want it to be the norm.
It's just how they cook them.
To be the norm, not that when you're making, especially at a fast food joint, the fries are going in and out, quick, 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 quick. Chances are fries are going to be crispier and done better than waffle fries because waffle fries has more density with the potato.
Oh, wow. You broke it. You went scientific.
You're welcome.
You went scientific.
And I already told you that.
Density in the matter of
the best restaurants that give you fast food fries to go will punch holes in the box if it's a box so that the air breathes through so that the fries will stay crispy and don't get soggy.
Wait, did your parents? Did you ever work at your parents' restaurant?
No, I was two. Everybody else did. Everybody else did. I probably still did. I was in a crib nearby. I was probably just, you know, ripping away and doing what I do. But no, I never worked there. But
because you weren't old enough to.
My buddy at Nico Nico's is the one that tipped me off to that with the fries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they do so many takeout fries, and people buy the large big square for like a to go platter, and some people buy just fries, just a box of those fries.
I can see that. I could definitely see that.
I think I brought Nick some of those a few times.
The fries?
Just a box of those fries.
Yeah. Okay.
But they leave like just, they don't leave the whole skin on. Like one, it's, you know, the fries are like four sides.
Uh-huh.
One of the sides has the skin on.
Okay.
So it's split.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I'll tell you this, I found a new love and appreciation for tater tots because Taylor eats them all the time. The smell alone in my house, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to try those. I missed you, tater tots, in my life. They're really good sometimes.
Tater tots are legit. Like, if I go to Sonic, shut up. If I go to Sonic, it's always tater tots.
Boy, I always get tater tots from Sonic.
Always. Those are legit.
Those are good.
Without question.
So you're a fan of tater tots.
And their drinks.
But you're not a fan of waffle fries.
I didn't say I'm not a fan. If I had a choice between the two, I'm taking French fries over waffle fries.
I feel like you did say you weren't a fan.
I'm not a big... I'll pass on waffle fries. I'm not a big fan.
It doesn't make any sense. It's all a potato.
I'm not here to make sense of French fries. Bro. And I've proven to you some days I'm not here to make sense at all.
2.5 years. Why start now?
Exactly.
No, I get it. Like you said, the texture has something to do with it, but I'm not picky when it comes to that.
And for those that think they're eating healthy by eating sweet potato fries, it's still deep fried.
It's a little healthier. It's a little healthier. Dude, every little bit counts if you're not like, you know, just eating chicken and broccoli three meals a day. Okay. Every few calories counts.
It doesn't taste like, for me, like I enjoy sweet potato fries or regular fries at a restaurant because I feel like, you're right, they're fried and then they make it taste good. But at home, if I were to make a sweet potato fry versus a regular, it just tastes way less appealing to me.
Yeah,
I just can't have it at home.
Yeah, I mean, I know Raheel was big on these air fryers. Are they legit?
I got to get one. Seriously.
Raheel swears by them.
I need to get one.
I don't have one. I've seen them. I know where they are.
And I'm interested in, like, would they get the fry as crispy and taste as good if it's an air fryer?
By the way, several people texted and said, Joel, next time you go to Chick-fil-A, just get the waffle fries well done. Just ask for them extra crispy.
I would try that.
Just say, make them extra crispy, and you can get the sandwich well done as well. Which I've heard, yes, if you ask for a well-done Chick-fil-A sandwich, it's even better than just the way they make it. But so you can get your waffle fries the way you want.
There you go. That's what I want. I want them my way. All right, HR&P listener line open right now, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. Also hit us up on Twitter at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. Barry with hour number one of the Throwback Thursday. Songs about rain, pre-2009, as we've rolled it over from Wednesday. Back with more in just mere minutes. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All you musical geniuses who keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars and then keep reaching for opportunities to correct me, you can suck it because it is Smoky Mountain rain. Not range, okay? Not range. Don't need another text. It's not. I will give OU Mike credit, however, because of the fact that he said it was Smoky Mountain, not Rocky Mountain. He's right.
Why are you reading his text? They go directly to the deleted
items.
Because
I let you do the for organizational purposes.
Yes.
I respectfully stay out of the inbox so you can keep them organized. I read them once you delete them.
I'm so glad I don't see any of his dumbass texts.
But he was right about that. But otherwise, so all you glad. People that thought it was range, go back to finding a hobby. You were wrong.
That's right. No, I mean, you're right. They're wrong.
Right.
Anyway.
So to steal one from you, suck it! Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get more Milli Vanilli. You talked over it. But that's okay. It's
Nick,
it's
play it again. Nope. Play it through the whole segment.
No. Oh, that's so good. Weren't they fat, the guys that sung this? Because remember they were...
They were bike shorts.
No,
oh, you're talking about the real
not
people.
Milli and Vanilli.
Oh, you're talking about not the guys on camera, the real
Milli
guys.
Milli and Vanilli were lip syncers and dancers. And then the actual voices, I think, were a couple of fat dudes, if I'm not mistaken.
Much like Martha Washington was the voice, CNC Music Factory had the hot chick in the skinny bike shorts,
yes.
too. Yes. So if you wore bike shorts, you probably weren't a singer. But the people off camera that were actually singing were bringing it from the loins.
Yeah, we got it. Yes. That's. Oh, I almost said something inappropriate.
Well, you should.
Boy, I know.
You've had a rough day today. You should just kind of unwind and just let it fly today.
I got to say, I guess you were right
about
Boogie.
Yeah, boy, I kind of thought about that.
He ate it last night. That was awful. Yeah. I don't know how much of that had to do with time off or just he had an awful game. He didn't look winded or tired. He just looked like he wasn't interested in putting forth any, you know, effort. And then he spent half the time on his back complaining about fouls. It was just a bad game on his part.
But I just felt like, again, when a guy comes back from a substantial injury like that, and especially he played 8 minutes the first time, and then when you go and just kind of leave it all out there. And yeah, the numbers were good, but the minutes were high. That even if it's a couple days off, coming back for that next one is a whole new ball game. And you're right. He looked like he was on a different zone. Like he was on a Thursday night game in Cleveland in the regular season. He was on a different planet.
But are you going to say you can't use that same excuse for Sean Livingston? And he had a similar game. No, he was bad 4 points, 17 minutes. I mean,
of the two, you're not expecting Sean Livingston to give you 15, 11, and 6 or whatever. And Boogie almost had a triple-double in game two.
That's what I mean. That's why I don't know that I necessarily would blame it on the injury, but it looked like it last night.
Not
like
just the injury. It's the fatigue level. It's the soreness level. It's the injury.
He didn't look interested, though, half the game.
If you can't get interested for game three of the finals tied at one.
I mean, don't you agree? He spent half of his time complaining or kind of watching. I don't know. It was just not. It was not normal Boogie Cousins.
And I don't know if that
wasn't involved in the flow.
You know,
offense,
he's always
passing.
Been real adamant about being a superstar, about being a go-to. Yeah. But look, in this case, you've got to defer to Steph every single chance, especially when he goes off and gets five quick ones, and you're like, oh, if he's going to have one of those nights, tonight's the night to do it. You just got to keep feeding him, and as a teammate, you got to live with that.
Yeah, and you know. We talked about who's the key to the game, and it was Steph getting at least 30. Dude got 47, and they still didn't win. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that Boogie didn't keep up his end of the bargain. And Draymond had a decent game.
Did he?
But, I mean, you got out-rebounded by Steph, bro. Like, that can't happen, and the Warriors expect to win. You can't have Steph Curry leading the starters in rebounds. And you expect to win. That's just not going to work.
No, and looking at the whole thing, I don't know that Draymond had a decent game. Because, again,
I mean, it was okay.
Game one was okay, and then he literally, in the post game, said, that's on me. I got to do better. I got to shut Siakam down after he had 30-plus, and I got to play better. And he did. And, again, you could rope him right in with Boogie. Maybe it's different reasons. I don't know what the reasons is, but especially when you get the whole back and forth, which pissed me off about Klay, because I was watching the ESPN pregame, and they're like, Klay Thompson officially in tonight. He will play. And the guys were like, oh, okay. So then I flip over and Beadle goes, Klay's out tonight. And I go, wait, Lisa, did she just say he's out? Because ESPN said he's in and they're under the same umbrella. And then about 10 minutes later, she said it one more time. She goes, Klay is out. And I'm going, so which is it? But the minute that I heard Klay was going to be out too, and these guys should have been the same way, going, all right, now, I don't care if I want to or I have to. I'm going to need to step up, Draymond and Boogie.
Yeah.
Because Livingston's going to retire.
Yeah. Now, okay, so we got that out of the way, but I think the bigger question is, you and I both look at that and immediately pick on the Warriors. How much are we doing a disservice to the Raptors about how well they played defensively, offensively? Like, I mean, give credit to Toronto for causing some of the issues that Golden State had. They never really, I think they led for the last, what, they said something like 36 minutes of the game or something like that. This game like never felt close. The Warriors never had that run that they usually make where they catch up or take a lead and then bury
again,
you.
Again, because of the guys that weren't playing. But I'll say this, Barry. I don't disagree with you, right?
Okay.
But here's what I will say. They call it free stroking a lot in the league, too. Mm-hmm. But you take all that edge, that tension, that pressure off a team, even more so in the finals, when you go, oh, we're going up against that team without those two guys or those three guys, you kind of have the ability, when you hear that and you're a member of the Raptors, you go, I can relax.
Well, that's what they said was on the board. Let it rip.
That's good.
That was on their board.
Good for Nick Nurse, if that's true.
Yeah, let it rip was written on the board, and it was just shooting. And it seemed like every time the Warriors would start to make a run, Kyle Lowry would hit a big three. It felt like that. Every time you'd start watching it, you'd be like, man.
And when he does, do they not look like off balance, bad shot, never got a chance to go in? His feet are always together. His shoulders are turned. It's a quick rush shot, but boy, he made some big ones last night.
He really did. I mean, it was Kawhi obviously is a beast and dominant. But, dude, Toronto is a team 17 for 38 from three-point
range.
That's
big.
44%.
That is huge.
44% of their threes fell. The Warriors were 12 of 36 for 33%, and that's good.
And we've all
as a team, if you shoot 33%, that's great.
Right.
You'll take
that.
But
we've all always said Kawhi's going to get his, but this team's only going to go as far as the role players that step up. When they step up, they are capable of being world champions. When they don't, they're capable of being blown out. But I just don't know if I'm the Warriors. I know they feel like they played their cards the right way, that even though Klay, because of every shot you saw of Klay, he was pacing. He was pissed. He wanted to be out there because he knew he could make a difference. Because the difference is, like to your point about how the Raptors, give the Raptors credit, but the thing is, the reason why the Warriors never had that run where they made a push and came back with a big, 10-0 run or 14-2 or whatever, a big split run in their favor was because you got guys like McKinney and Livingston and Cook shooting threes instead of Klay, KD, and Steph.
And also, Draymond. I mean, again, give credit to Toronto's defense. 10 blocks.
Oh, that's
Ibaka
big.
Ibaka just was having a field day.
He can't do that consistently game in, game out anymore, but on the
blocks,
games when he does that,
yeah.
Along with an active Siakam and Kawhi's defense, now you're talking about a suffocating five guys on the floor.
Put it this way. They had 10 blocks by themselves defensively. The Warriors defensively had eight steals and three blocks. That's 11 total, like, big defensive plays. Go ahead and add in 9 more steals for the Toronto Raptors.
They
balled out and played some badass defense.
And on the road, too, which is always, you have to ramp it up a notch that way, too. Yeah. So it went as expected for me the minute I knew Klay wasn't playing and KD wasn't playing. But you're right. Credit to the Raptors. But everybody's kind of like poo-pooing on it. Now everybody's jumping full force on the Raptors bandwagon as they do overreact in every game in the playoffs. But the fact of the matter is, if Golden State wins the next game, hey, then both teams did what they were supposed to do, whether it be the traditional way of winning on the other's home court or not. But normally after 4 games, 2 in each building, you're tied at 2. So you got a long series on your hands. Now you better hope that when Klay and or KD come back, they can get they don't pull a boogie. Because if they pull a boogie, the Raptors are going to win the world championship.
Yeah. But I know we got to get to a break, but I have more comments about the decisions that the Warriors have made.
We got all this to talk about things that happened on the floor with things you were just talking about. And then we got to talk about one owner's wife who pissed Beyonce off and a part owner who pissed Kyle Lowry off. So we've got plenty to get to still on the finals. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated. They're not going to be like the big-time energy companies that do everything through an automated system, try to push you through as quickly as possible, just get you to sign on the dotted line and know that they got you as another customer, that they're not going to really pay attention to and give good customer service to. That's not the way they do it at Infuse. When you call Infuse Energy, 844-INFUSE-2, 844-463-8732, you are going to get a human being, not an automated system. And they are going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because quite frankly, they want you to know that they care enough about you to pinpoint the best possible program and the best rate they can do. And they're always going to be 100% honest with you. That means in the rare occasions there's another energy company out there that can beat their rates and prices, they're going to make make sure they let you know about it. Why? Because they want you to know you can trust them. You may not go with them now, but you'll come back to them at some point and remember, hey, they were honest enough to tell me there was another company that could beat their rates. That's big because no one else is going to do that. And that's why you should check out Infuse Energy. I switched about 2 years ago, saved thousands off of my bill because they're just that good at making sure that they do their job and get you the best rate that suits your family or your business. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit right off the top. But bottom line, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. You check them out at InfuseEnergy.com. Infuse energy into your life.
.107-94 Toronto. Lowry on the drive. Kicks to the wing. Leonard. Ball fake and drive. Floater from 12. It is good. Toronto's hitting its shots here in the second half of game three. Lowry will be the inbounder. They wiped up some perspiration. Gets it into Fred VanVleet. Shot clock had been reset to 14. VanVleet on the Warriors logo with 8 to shoot. Hounded by McKinney. Gives it up to Kawhi Leonard with 4 to shoot. Leonard lost the dribble. Got it back. Passes out. VanVleet. 3 was hit. Oh. And he knocks it down. Late in the clock, VanVleet with a rainbow 3.
I don't think about what happened 2 years ago. Pretty much living in the now. And I'm just happy we were able to get a game 3 win. Another step closer to our goal.
Everybody wants to see us lose. So I'm sure people are happy they're hurt. We just got to continue to battle and win the next game, go back to Toronto, win game 5, come back to Oracle, win game 6, and then celebrate. Fun times ahead.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Okay, so from last to first, we're going to go Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard, and then the ESPN radio feed of the game last night in a nice little package Nick put together there to kind of keep us going on finals talk. You had more, Barry, that you wanted to get off your chest on the game last night.
Well, it was just a point, you know, obviously I was wrong about Boogie and wrong about picking the Warriors. I think we all were on that bandwagon.
Last night's game.
But I will say this, and this is why I was adamant about, if KD is ready, why wait? If Klay is able, why wait? Because you would win on the road. Now, you've squandered the one thing that you did, which was go on the road and steal home court. And now, instead of stepping on their throat, and because last night's game was a pivotal game.
Yep.
If the Warriors win that game, this series is in jeopardy pretty quick. Because now they could get fully healthy, and that could be the end of it. But now, they've dug themselves a hole, and this is why I kept saying, man, if I'm the Warriors and it's possible, I'm putting everybody out there and trying to win game 3 because that's a pivotal game for them. So I just felt like maybe they played it a little cautious and didn't do that, and now B-holes are going to pucker a little in that Warriors
momentum
locker room.
Clearly could have been on the Warriors' side had they won, but the bigger thing to me was, and I think Klay really felt this way, but I'm either going to be able to play or I'm not. And now we're done with the two games in between. They play again tomorrow night. So there's really not that much time to do anything extra to get him more ready. But the thing is, just like KD's calf, I mean, you can play 2-on-2, 3-on-3. Let's be honest. If they scrimmage, you're not going to get even an NBA regular season game-like scrimmage. You're just going to get up and down the floor. But you got to get the rust off. You got to see what they can do. And you might as well know in game 3 and know that if they're decent, they really help you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not and they blow a tire again or it's just not there, then you know what you have to do again to plan accordingly for the rest of the series. I'm with you. I just think that they overthought this. The fact that they were trying to be real stern going, Klay's not going to make this decision. And obviously he didn't because
he wanted to play.
He really wanted to play.
And that's the thing. If Klay Thompson felt like he could have played, go play, man. I mean,
and based on what we saw the day before at practice, just him shooting jump shots,
yeah,
If he wasn't the normal Clay in terms of moving around constantly, they say he runs 3 miles a game in terms of how he runs off, on the court. If he just got the same shots McKinney and Cook got,
be PJ Tucker. Go stand in that corner.
I'm taking him all day long.
Just go stand in that corner.
So why would they prevent him from playing? I mean, so what? Is there any guesses? Like maybe they is there a possibility that perhaps he was limping, obviously, to one of the trainers, and they knew he was not even close to, I don't know,
90%. Kerr said he couldn't have lived with himself if Clay went out there last night and then hurt it again or hurt it worse. I don't know if you can live with yourself if you look at the end of this series and go, if we would have won game three with Clay, it might have been a different story. So you can look at it either way. That, to answer your question, that's what Steve Kerr said. But I think from a medical perspective, they're like, well, he didn't really pull it. And if we get this, he sits so he doesn't do anything yesterday, he doesn't do anything today, and then he doesn't do anything Friday until game time, that maybe that extra time will get him so that it won't, he won't have any issues again, or there's a chance that he can pull. But you can't do that.
They left. I mean, I've been saying that with KD too, that you can't leave bullets in the gun. This is it. There's no next series. And you take a calculated risk if you think, oh, well, we don't have to run them out. My answer to your question, this is just pure speculation on my part, I think they got cocky.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors were like, we can beat this team without KD, and we can beat this team without Klay. It's one game. We're at home. We still have Boogie. We still have Draymond Green, and we still have Steph Curry. We can beat this team. Like, we've just went on the road and whooped them without KD. Like, I think they got cocky and felt like they didn't need to, and if they just kept winning, they could keep waiting. Well, I think now that I would be shocked if we didn't see one or both of them in the next game.
In my mind, they're both playing next game.
Yeah, because I would be stunned.
When it all went down too, I did get the sense that, you know what, we've been through this pressure, not just in an NBA game type of pressure, but the type of pressure that comes along with being in an NBA final series, and we've handled it before. So yeah, I did get that vibe. So it kind of goes to your point. I just think you're really putting yourself in a corner now. With this pressure, this is unprecedented pressure, perhaps, for this team. It seems like every finals, something comes along in their way, and they always overcome it. And each finals, it's always been a slightly more difficult.
Maybe that's being too cocky now. Maybe they've gotten to the point now where they've gotten so comfortable in believing they've always overcome it, like the Rockets series, that they just feel like, we'll figure it out. And I don't know that you can with this team.
I think they underestimate Toronto and that's how good Toronto is. I really do. I mean, I think they know Kawhi is good. And I think they know that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think they know Kyle Lowry can get hot.
Can be good.
But I don't think that they're scared of Kyle Lowry. I think they look over there and think, Siakam can give us a problem. Kawhi Leonard is one of the best players in the world. Other than that, we ain't scared of that team. And then you got guys like Van Vliet that come out and play well. I mean, Kyle Lowry steps up and knocks down big shots.
Ibaka,
and then,
like you said, blocking shots.
Six block shots from Ibaka. They played great defense. I mean, they were all over the place defensively. They were making their shots offensively. They just came out and punched them in the mouth.
They also felt like
I don't think the Warriors expected that.
First finals, first road game, Oracle's last year of existence. The fan base is going to go nuts. They're going to intimidate the hell out of them. It's a different environment than everybody being on their side in Toronto. They and the cockiness factor as well. All those elements lined up and said, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Just because your bench. And again, the other thing was, don't sleep on this. Because of the way everybody played in game two, they felt like, oh, all of our role players are stepping up now. They're comfortable. It was just rust in game one. We'll be fine. The other thing is, you said, obviously, momentum has changed, but there's a huge difference between being down 3-1 and 2-1. So that's why I think even more so for game four, all hands on deck. Sure. Now, you've played all of your kind of cagey little overthinking things cards. Now it's like it's now or never, because if you get down 3-1, especially going back to Toronto, it's over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. So we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, again, it's the big difference between which role players and supporting cast members of the Raptors step up as opposed to which all-stars are available and can be somewhat effective for Golden State.
There is no pressure. There is absolutely no pressure on this Toronto team now.
Well, if they let it rip last night, they better really let it rip.
They lost a game at home, went on the road. They realized that the Warriors were shorthanded, but Nick Nurse did a masterful job of coaching, getting his team prepared, and keeping them relaxed. And now they're up 2-1. They stole home court back. And now they know they can go on the road and beat this team. whether it's, you know, shorthanded or not, they went on the road and beat this team.
I'm not going to go that far simply because I think that they're smart enough to also realize.
But there's no pressure on
them. We did go on the
now.
Road and beat them, but it would be a whole new ballgame if we had to go on the road and beat them if they were healthy or they had all those guys back.
But I mean, look, you can make the case that at the end of game two, when they lost Kyle Lowry or when they lost Klay Thompson, Kyle Lowry fouled out. So, I mean, this is a team that I don't think there's any pressure on them. Like, they did what they were supposed to do. They went on the road and won a game. And they don't have to. I mean, all of the pressure right now is on Golden State.
That I'll agree.
Because, like
with.
You said, if they lose this next game, so now Toronto gets to come out and play exactly like they did this last night.
You know the scary
thing
is?
They can come out, let it rip, have some fun, just play loose. And what do you have to lose? If you lose, you go back to Toronto. It's 2-2.
You know what the scary
that's
thing is?
The worst that's going to happen.
When you're talking about the cockiness, Golden State honestly believes if they're down 3-1, but they get everybody back, they can win 3 in a row.
Yeah.
That's how cocky they are.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're Golden State, here's one more final thing to think about, too. When you said to agree with your point about KD, there's a good chance he's not back next year. I'm not worried about next year. I'm not worried about the offseason. Yeah,
I've been saying that for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Why are you leaving bullets in the gun? You are wasting KD if you're not running him out there. He should have been playing in game one. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, if he could have. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But he should have been playing.
All right, there you go. We're going to continue to roll on. Still a few things to get housekeeping on the finals, and then we'll roll through Astros and other things. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line, you can call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. It is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We get Barry and I can just let this one go for a while.
Oh, boy.
This is a good one. Eddie Rabbit.
That's because that's the list done before the show was done yesterday.
We're back on the usual suspects. Throwback Thursday. Songs pre-2009 about rain.
I haven't looked at the list yet. I mean, I saw yours. I haven't seen Nick's. Yeah, but you seem to be the winner.
Okay, good.
People keep voting for you.
That's what I like to hear. And speaking of the rain, the golf tournament postponed, not canceled, yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The rescheduled date, June the 19th. So it's coming up. So if you did not get a spot in the tournament, you can still show up that day. We'll be broadcasting all day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. All of us will be broadcasting in the clubhouse. So you can come by, hang out in the clubhouse.
Bring Joel birthday gifts because it's his birthday, June 19th.
I was thinking about maybe we should just do a birthday week.
Blow up doll? No. You
I knew that was going to go
absolutely
over well.
Not
Monday through Friday.
Yeah, there will be at least no, like a late week, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because of the golf tournament.
There will be no pinning of dollars on your shirt.
I don't need that.
Nick
needs whiskey.
I was looking at the I can honestly say I've never heard any of the songs on your list, Nicholas.
I ain't going to lie. I haven't heard about four or five of the songs.
We did
list.
You no favors. Like, we left you nothing in the cupboard.
I was so going to leave you like, notes because there were ones that I thought. I was like, Nick could use that.
So the one, Carl Thomas?
Summer Rain?
Who's that guy?
No idea.
Yeah, no
idea. He played for the Chiefs?
Wasn't that the dad on Fresh Prince?
I don't know.
Play linebacker for the Chiefs?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Garbage, I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
I was going to put that, but I didn't know how much grief you guys were going to give me, so I removed it.
I considered it.
I noticed you didn't use Raining Men.
I did not. I did not. I left that one out. It was a tough call. It was a tough call between that and Carl Thomas.
But at least people would recognize it's Raining Men. Yeah. But then, I mean, you went out, Joel, like Bruce Hornsby's Mandolin Rain.
Love that song.
How's it go?
Song came and went, like the time that we spent.
No idea. I've never heard
that.
That's
the way the song starts.
I've never heard
that. Listen to the Mandolin Rain. You've heard the song. When you hear it, you'll know the song.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't recognize that name at all. Like, a lot of them I do. Well, obviously, Thunder Rolls, but yeah. Knicks, boy, that's tough sledding right there.
Fat Joe, Eminem, I recognize. The Rolling Stones.
No, I mean, I recognize the artist.
Some artists.
But I'm talking about those two particular songs.
Oh,
Make It Rain. I play that here all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Rolling Stones, I did not know. Led Zeppelin, I did not know. Carl Thomas, I definitely did not know. Mary J. Blige, Ja Rule, Rainy Days.
Lisa was a big, she really likes that Mary J. Blige song.
Yeah. Was she lobbying for you to use it?
Of course she was. I told you that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Didn't work out for her, but good effort.
Well, Donna agrees that Joel won because he had Purple Rain. Too bad that Purple Rain was on my list. So Donna's vote is split now.
Yep.
Well, yeah. So you had other points about the finals before we move to Astros?
Well, I mean, some of the interesting things I didn't realize at the time, and then they really made a point of pointing it out, that Kyle Lowry got shoved the way he did when he went hustling into the front row to try and save that ball. And now it comes out this morning that it was a Warriors minority owner.
Investor.
Or
an investor.
So essentially a part owner.
Well.
You get the two majority owners, and then he's a minority owner.
Is he considered a minority owner? Yeah. If he's, because some people are a silent owner, I guess is what he would be. Okay.
And again, the main people.
The term I saw was investor, but I guess that's the same thing. Splitting hairs.
So, I mean, to see what that guy did, and I don't know that it actually makes it more important to really discipline this guy if you're the league, because of the fact that in that position, in any position, you shouldn't do it. In that position, you should know better. And the fact that he literally did it, and the referee, I also understand he didn't see it, and it took like the third angle to really see it, but he really did flat out shove Kyle Lowry.
He did.
And that's assault on the street if you hit another man, if you violate their personal space, and you put your hands on them.
I mean, props to Kyle Lowry, because I probably reactionary would have just punched the dude in the head.
No question.
Props to him for having enough. All he did was just point at him. Like, that's you. You expect it. I mean, I shouldn't say you expect it, but if it's just an average fan that maybe had a little too much to drink and gets a little overhyped or whatever. But if you're, and I looked it up, so the ESPN article says he is on their board. So he's an executive on the board.
Okay.
So whatever the hell that is.
Okay.
But you've got somebody involved in the organization. I mean, this would be is the equivalent of if a Mark Cuban or somebody like that is out there pushing
this
players.
Isn't like Drake being whatever they call him to be.
Right.
This is a real legitimate part of the organization that has invested into the team. And I know Drake.
Drake is at home going.
Drake's name is on the practice facility.
I didn't push nobody.
He sponsored the Raptors. I get that. He's whatever that title they gave him. But this guy and USA Today says he's a part owner of the Warriors. So it's regardless. He has an affiliation to the team. But you got to know better, man.
Yeah.
You saw the shove, right?
I did. Yeah.
I just think his name is Mark Stevens. And Kyle, now the one part I didn't see that Kyle said, now if you saw this, he did the interview with SVP after the game. And he said, dude was cussing at him pretty regularly throughout the game. He said, and he did it frequently. If you're also doing that, that's just.
Yeah, you let it escalate to that point. That's not good. Now you wonder, remember, there was. Who was it? It was Barkley. Was it Barkley?
Who said to take out Drake?
No. Yeah. Remember, he told the story that they have ways of handling that.
Yeah, that's what he said.
In the
NBA. It was Charles.
And he said that if there was somebody that's been on the sidelines chirping a lot, you just say, hey, throw a loose ball over there. I'm going to go after it. And then you get your shot in. Now you're saying that this dude that Lowry says he's been yapping all night and cursing at him. I wonder if this is a case of Lowry had the opportunity to go over there, and then he went pretty hard into the stands.
But of course, and that
he obviously was going for the ball, but
at that point in the game, you
wonder
on the
if
line,
he was like,
finals
"Oh,
game.
Beautiful moment! I'm gonna go after this ball, and I get to land on this dude."
The irony was that the female, which he really made contact with, was like, "Are you okay too?" She stood up, she put his arm on Kyle, and at the same time, this dude's just throwing chicken extended Heisman arms and chicken wings at Kyle and going, "What are you doing, dude?" And you're like 70 some years old.
If that was a fan, that fan will be barred for life.
Completely agree.
The fact that this guy is just not allowed to witness the rest of the finals isn't right. He should be banned for life from attending Warriors games, just like a fan would be. There's no difference.
Kyle Lowry agrees with you because he said as much. He said the guy should be banned and should never be allowed to another game again.
Don't care who he was. If it was Mark Cuban.
The Warriors are soft-selling it. The Warriors have made a statement. They apologized to Kyle Lowry, the organization. That, you know, his actions were out of line. But they're just trying to do that so that it's not a bigger issue when he still wants to sit courtside. He's not going to be allowed to.
Yeah, he should never be allowed to attend the game ever again.
So I don't disagree.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. 1 hour in the books. Still 2 hours to go. Plenty more of the big show. That means plenty more opportunities for you to join. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number two around the corner right here on ESPN 97.5.